Welcome to Magical Boys. This is a gay,
yeah, you
a
just real started. Gay. You didn't tell me you were starting. You were just like, you were just doing a vine.
Yeah, let me.
You were singing a vine. And then you were just like, my baby coming, whatever it was. And they're like, Magical Boys.
No, okay, let's actually do it.
I want to be a cat. No, this is it. This TJ, we started.
I want to see my little boy. You have to see that vine. It's so good.
You just did like, I want to be a cowboy, baby. Welcome to Magical Boys.
If somebody that listens to the show can find the context behind the I want to be a cowboy baby vine.
No one knows.
That would be amazing. But welcome to Magical Boys. This is a gay-ass podcast about anime, manga, pop culture, and all that good shit in between from a queer perspective. And it is I, your little boy. Well, not little boy, but your old boy. That old boy. DJ motherfucking Kirkland. And
oh damn, the spice is going on today.
So spicy. And so then spicy. With me as always, the one and only, the incomparable Ruben Medina.
That's right, incomparable. So don't step. don't even try.
Don't step in this house.
Don't step in my house. Don't step near me. I'm very nervous. Sounds scare me.
It's like, I have crippling anxiety.
Yeah, do not step to me. I will be terrified by being engaged by another human being.
Wow, a mood.
Please don't do this to me. If you see I'm in the elevator, please don't get on the elevator. Please wait for another elevator.
So, I use this GIF a lot. It's this, not GIF, but it's just like a meme image of Ariana Grande with like her hands like above her head like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that is just me all the time. I'm like, just nobody look at me. Nobody talk to me. Just like, just please let me be.
Yeah,
and it's, that's like every, like when I leave my day job and then I'm like on my way home, because I sometimes have to park in the front of our apartment complex and then walk to the back. And I'm like, I just want to get home. I just want to like get into my house. Nobody talk to me. I just want to get there. And then I see a neighbor and I'm like, oh my God, I have to engage. They're going to say hi to me. And then I have to be like,
Don't talk to me, please.
Yeah.
Just don't.
And it's just like a span of like 5 minutes. I'm just like, oh God.
Oh. Well, why is this happening to me?
Why does this have to happen to me?
How could this happen to me?
Oh, so pardon me, you guys. I'm still getting over a cold. So if my voice sounds crazy, that's what's happening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what's doing it. I see.
That's what it is.
Okay.
It's not anything else. I promise it's not.
Sure.
It's not. Just, like,
pull in a gigantic glass of rosé into frame. DJ, if you're drinking rosé from a sippy cup.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past me personally.
I mean, I wouldn't either.
I mean, it's water, but.
Okay.
So how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Mm-hmm. Just still unpacking things.
Yeah, I mean, you have this magnificent Atlanta skyline behind you.
I do. Yeah, I'm right in the city, smack dab.
Smack dab.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Just right there, and then just boxes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing so far is I can see into a lot of buildings. I'm just like, not even residential, like a lot of office buildings nearby.
Yeah.
They just had their lights on all night, and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What, like, what's the mystery?
Right, like, what's happening over there?
So I'm like, what if I got a telescope? And then just started peeping on buildings.
And it's just somebody just, like, making copies. And they're like, what is this person looking at me for with their binoculars?
I'm just making copies.
Just let me make my copies in peace, please.
Yeah, it's a weird fetish to watch people making copies.
Again, another great vine. Move, I'm gay, I'm making copies. Oh, man. So, what are you
playing? We have fun, guys.
We do have fun. What are you playing? We play video games.
What am I playing?
We have fun with those. Yeah, that.
What am I playing? I've been playing some Tetris 99.
Yeah? Where are we dropping?
Dog, where we drop? Tetris 99 is, like, real. It's the opposite of Tetris Effect. like, Tetris Effect is like, hey, do you want to, like, have, like, an acid trip and relax with Tetris? Here you go. Like, get, right. just get, like, absorbed into the music and the feel and just, like, have a good time.
Exactly.
And Tetris 99's like, yo, this looks like a Dreamcast game. And let's go. And it's so fun. I think, like, my highest so far has been, like, 9 or something.
Wow.
It's not, I mean, with every, any Battle Royale game, like, if you play it, and I got lucky on an early one, but if you play it enough times, like, you're gonna get a high, like, at some point, you'll just luck out. Mm-hmm. But that game is, like, I didn't realize when I was playing it at first, like, you can change who you target and stuff.
Okay.
So, well, I mean, we can get more into it later if we want mm-hmm. to, when we're talking about, like, Nintendo Direct stuff. But yeah, that game is more, a little bit more complicated than I realized mm-hmm. as far as, like, how you, mainly how you send your junk, like, your, how you attack people.
Right.
So that's fun. I played the Yoshi demo, mm-hmm. which we can get into later as well. We talked about Nintendo Direct. Mm-hmm. The Daemon X Machina demo mm-hmm. Also. I have Anthem downloaded, because right now, if you have an Xbox and you have EA Access, mm-hmm. Which, like, on sale, you can find that for, like, $25 sometimes, and that's for a year, which usually there's at least one EA game I at least want to try out.
Right.
So it's usually worth it for me. So Anthem has a, like, 10-hour demo available now before it comes out.
Okay.
Because it comes out, I think, like, Friday? Or, like,
the 22nd?
Oh, okay. Then
22nd?
Is that? Yeah, that Friday.
Be, mm-hmm. Yeah, the 22nd.
Yeah. So it comes out on Friday. And I think it went live, like, this weekend. Okay. So I'll probably try to get, like, a couple hours into it. I don't know if I'm gonna play it on Xbox, but just to, like, decide if I want to spend money on it for, like, buying it legit.
Oh, sure.
but I haven't had a chance to get into it quite yet. And then, yeah, I haven't been. I need to pick up Kingdom Hearts 3 again. I haven't touched it in, like, a week. And I want to, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've both had a lot going on, personally, that's kept us away from that game. Because I feel like when, like, you're playing Kingdom Hearts 3, that is such a commitment. Like, you're at least supposed to be sitting down, I would imagine, at least an hour and a half. Like, if you want
to
actually, like,
to get anything
in Kingdom Hearts. Yeah. Because, like, you can't just, like, sit down and, like, play Kingdom Hearts for 10 minutes and then turn it off. It's, like, that's barely, like, a cutscene.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's, like, a cutscene in Kingdom Hearts can be 30 minutes. So right. It's, like, you can't just, like, kind of play it. Like, what's good about Tetris 99 is, like, I can pop in, do a couple matches, that's it, whatever.
Yeah.
I played some more Apex Legends. Mm-hmm. That game's just good. It's a good Battle Royale game. Like, I'm hoping that they can keep an audience.
Yeah, I hope that they can, too, because it has a lot that's good that's going for it. So, mm-hmm. Who knows? We'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, DJ? What are you playing?
A lot of the same stuff. So I'm playing Smash Ultimate when I have a free moment. Like, I'm basically in the home stretch of finishing Black Mage. So that's kind of taken all of my time. So whenever I want to, like, take a break from drawing for at least 10 or 15 minutes, I can play a couple matches of Smash. And then I did stop to sit down and play the Daemon X Machina demo, which I really did enjoy that a lot. I think it's going to be really fun. But we can get into that in a little bit later on. But what are you watching?
Mm-hmm. Watching wise, I've got Russian Doll, which I just finished watching, which is really good. It's like, if you guys haven't seen anything about it on Netflix, it's God, what's your name from Orange is the New Black? Oh, she's really good.
Yeah, her name is escaping me right now. But
Natasha Lyonne.
Yes. Natasha.
It's cool. It's very much like Groundhog Day. Okay. But less comedy and more just, like, straight up depression. but it's really good. Like, it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a big commit. Each episode's only a half hour.
Okay.
Also, I'm pretty sure that writer's room is only women.
Good.
Like, looking at some of the credits, like, I don't think I ever saw, like, a dude's name or what I would recognize as a guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Poehler is involved with it on occasion.
Oh, awesome.
For writing. And it's just, like, just weird, but really well done. And again, like, I think it's a good consideration of depression. I was watching that. I finished Umbrella Academy today.
Okay.
Which is, like, have you read the comic?
I haven't read the comic, but I did watch, I think we watched the first two or three episodes of that show.
It's a fairly big
departure from... So what it really does is it takes, like, the first series... Because Umbrella Academy had two, like, two trades, which was, like, the first series and then Dallas. Right. And right. Dallas is a different story about the JFK assassination, but involves those characters. Mm-hmm. Those two... Basically what it does is it takes... aspects, there's not as much from Dallas, but like Hazel and Cha-Cha are not in the first like arc of Umbrella Academy at all. The hitmen basically. Mm-hmm. And they have like very large roles, which Cha-Cha's played by Mary J. Blige, yeah. which is wild.
Yeah.
Which is so wild.
Yeah.
That's great. So they really like kind of jammed things from those two together. It's a really big departure from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it does a good job of like, the best way I would want to describe it is, like, it's a really good adaptation of how the series feels, mm-hmm. even though it changes up so much about the actual series.
Yeah.
That said, it's aspects of it feel like a CW show, sort of.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see
it's
that.
It's really well shot. Pogo, who's, like, the chimp butler, mm-hmm. looks amazing. His CG's... Oh, yeah. Great.
Looks really good.
Which you can tell they put budget into that part, because like there's CG in other parts of the show that's like is not good. Mm-hmm. But I really like, I think it's good. I have some problems with specifically where they chose to put music. Like sometimes I feel like they use music under scenes, like underscore them, and it makes the scenes feel really cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
Or like it kind of like ruins the tension of the scenes.
Right.
Like there's constantly underscoring in scenes that I was just like, I would love to not have this as prominent as it is.
Mm-hmm.
That said, though, it's like really fun. It's really silly. If you like what you watch on Netflix, I would say for sure go read the comics. I think the comics are like a better thing, but I think they mm-hmm. did a good job of making. I enjoyed watching it at least.
Okay.
Russian Doll. I started watching Mob Psycho.
Yeah.
Season two.
Me too. Yeah.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, it's a really, really good looking show. I came away from season one and I'm like, man, this is like really fucking fantastic. Like I had so much fun watching it, and I'm sad that it took me so long to finally get there to watch it, because it's so good. And I think it really does. It's one of those shows that I think, especially with like contemporary anime, like it really does live up to expectations. And mm-hmm. I see that the reverence that it has amongst like people that one consume a lot of anime or just consume a lot of like media, whether it's like comics or animation or whatever in general, really love that show a lot. And mm-hmm. there's so much to love about it. It's really well done. I really enjoyed it. So I've only watched the first two episodes of season two, but I've really enjoyed what I've watched of it so far.
Yeah, what I love about Mob Psycho is that it seems like it's such a like kind of goof gag series that mm-hmm. has like really cool fight scenes, which is true, but they do so many good like sad or like heart, like kind of punch you in the stomach, like
yeah.
heart. Like I think the first episode of season two is the one where that girl is interested in Mob,
mm-hmm.
and like that whole story, that the whole episode like has a very sweet and like sad ending
mm-hmm.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that series just says that a lot.
Yeah.
Which is really, really good. Really, really nice. I was about to start watching, cause I've been like, I've had a lot of work lately, so I've needed something to have on like in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So I was about to start watching, Iron Blooded Orphans, cause
yeah.
I haven't watched.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
And I've heard it's excellent. So need to get on that. Also, I need to watch, I've heard that Dragon Prince season two is really good.
Okay.
So I need to go and watch season one, I guess.
Yeah. Season one definitely is like, this is the first season. This is us setting up the world.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, but the character designs are so good. The character designs are so, so, so good. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of really good and interesting characters in it. It definitely feels very Avatar, The Last Airbender, in terms of its tone. It feels mm-hmm. a lot. It feels very much very similar to that and Korra. So if you like those shows, I think that you'll kind of have an idea of like its tone for the most mm-hmm. part, and it delivers on that really well. I still have like mixed feelings about the dropped frames animation for that show. I feel like there are too many
mm-hmm.
drop frames to where it makes it a little bit more jarring for me to watch. But I think if they kind of found, like, a middle ground between the two, that it could be, even better. But I'm not sure if they've changed that or adjusted that at all in season two or not, but...
They did for season two, I believe.
Okay.
I think, who was it? Danica, who used to be at Waypoint and at Crunchyroll.
Mm-hmm.
She does the social for them, for Dragon Prince. And I think she is an article I think I read where like they basically like heard all the fan feedback about how season one looked.
Mm-hmm.
And so season two, I think looks a bit different as far as like movement goes. I haven't like looked at it yet. So it looks like they're still doing some dropped frame stuff with the animation, but I've definitely seen like some fight scene stuff where I'm just like, oh, that just looks like pretty smooth. So I think they tweaked it a little bit, which is great because I was like iffy about how season one looked.
Yeah.
Like I know that like Into the Spider-Verse kind of has a dropped frame look as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they'd like, for me at least, they did it in like just the right amount to give it that sort of comic booky and like animation, not like super smooth CG feel without it like feeling like reboot. The reboot was really smooth, though, so I don't... That's actually... Reboot, like, moved really smoothly.
Yeah. No, but I know what you're trying to say. Like, there's... I think there's a really... There's, like, a really fine line with wanting to kind of execute on that. Like, you either have to go, like, full 60 frames per second, like, tons of animation smears and all that stuff for that to work, or work even at, like, 24 frames per second, even just doing 3D at that kind of a frame rate. For that to work, or if you're gonna do drop frames, like it has to be very deliberate. It has to be there's like a really good sweet spot for that. And there are even at times where I think that even Guilty Gear, Exard, there's too many drop frames even in that. But I think with that it's less noticeable because it looks more like what anime looks like and how anime animates. So
yeah,
it's less jarring with that. Than I would say for something like Dragon Prince or even Into the Spider-Verse. So there's, I think it's just like the differences between like an anime animation sensibility versus like a Western animated sensibility. And especially coming from the team that did like Avatar and Korra and all that stuff, like there's even a sensibility there that I think they're not quite hitting on the way that that looked, because you could replicate exactly what they did in Korra in 3D and it, and it, be just fine. And I think if they can somehow make that work and make it like have the same kind of like weight and quality to it, that it would feel less jarring, I think, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm just excited because like I obviously like I loved Avatar and Korra was fantastic. And it sounds like this is following in those footsteps pretty closely. So I just need to get through season one. I've heard that like season two just starts pretty immediately beginning to pay off on a lot of the stuff in season one.
Yeah, like, and season one, like, even with it being, like, this is a season of establishing everything, I still really, really enjoyed all of what I watched, and it's a pretty quick watch, too. It's like, you know, each episode is, like, 30 minutes, if that. I think there may be, like, 8 to 10 episodes, so you can get through pretty quickly.
Dope. Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to sit down. Like, Aaron's out of town for like 2 weeks, so I tend to. It's one of those things. Like, when you're in a relationship, you want to spend time together and do stuff together.
Right, right.
So it's not that like I can always do this sort of stuff as well.
Yeah.
But it's just I can just like go do it whenever. Right. Right now, so like right now, it's just like, oh well, I'm alone and lonely, so I'm just gonna put on something to watch.
Right.
Or
right.
like, so I'm kind of like burning through a lot of stuff right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely know that feeling as well. Brandon, whenever Brandon has like a conference for school or something like that, it's like, yeah, I still watch a fair amount of stuff and a fair amount of anime when he is here, but when he's not, I'm like, time to crank that shit up to 11.
It goes back to like single levels.
Oh,
where I'm just like,
oh, like complete and total trash baby. Like,
yeah,
like right back into my old ways, and it's not a good thing. It's like,
no, it's terrible.
It's like, oh, like I'm just gonna drink this whole bottle of wine, well, these whole two bottles of wine by myself and eat McDonald's and watch anime for 6 hours. Great.
Oh my god. I mean, which is sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And is like, that's a thing that like obviously I know how both of our partners are, like those are things that we can do with both of our partners, but it's just like, yeah, it's different when it's just like, well, I am not beholden or like responsible for anyone else's happiness today. So, yeah. Like, I'm just going to go home and just watch anime and eat shit. And...
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, DJ, now you have a beer. What happened? You transformed your cup.
No, I have two things. I have two things. I brought two things with me. But yeah, I guess in terms of what I... Are you watching anything else or is that it?
No. That's all.
Okay. I'm watching a couple of things. So I, started watching Mob Psycho Season 2. Very good. Promised Neverland, also very good.
Oh, yeah, you know I'm watching that.
I mean, that shit is real good. Like, they're moving pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
From, like, looking in terms of, like, the manga versus where the anime is going.
I think this is only a 12-episode season.
Huh. Well, I mean, that would make sense given, like, the quality of the show staying as high as it is.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Which is good because they can watch all the anime and then, like, then read the rest of the manga and then be ready to forever whenever the next season comes out. So that's
be good. Ready to cry and
oh yeah, like I'm already depressed.
The manga's so depressing and really good.
Yeah, man, it is really good.
It's just such a good story.
It's like, really, it's a really
cool
good story.
And good story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, yes.
Good. So watching that. So as I'm working on this comic, I usually always have something on in the background. So like I'm still watching King of the Hill. That show is the best. It's Texas anime. it's a very good anime.
It's a slice of life Texas anime.
Yeah, it's a slice of life Texas anime. It's very good. It's streaming on Hulu, all of it.
Boom Power Jam. And
but man, like that show is really good. Like it's really, really good. And since I'm primarily consuming it by listening to it, like the writing is so it's really good. It's really, really good. It's really smart writing.
It has really excellent like dialogue. Feels really natural in that show.
It does. It does. It feels really natural. Like man, like Bobby Hill is an icon. Like Bobby Hill was me when I was in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just love like the dynamic of like Bobby just doing things that are like just unconventionally like masculine thing, and then Hank is just always like, like at every what? Turn, it's so fucking, it's so fucking funny.
God, have you got to? I always remember very clearly. There's an episode where they're like, oh, they take Bobby to the doctor, and they're like, oh, he has ADHD. We need to put him on medication because he has ADHD. And like Bobby just gets so weird on his medication.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
There's a line where he's just like, he's in the kitchen and he's just like, he like sniffs and he goes, milk's going bad.
Yes.
And he just goes, there it goes.
There it goes.
So there's a beat and just, there it goes. Oh, like, man. Why is that so funny?
It's really good.
God dang hot dog. Still the best. Do I look like I know what a JPEG is?
So other than that, and then the other thing that I'm watching right now, currently, I just finished watching all of Outlaw Star again.
Oh my god.
Which
all of it?
Yeah. I mean, it's 26 episodes.
So it's trash baby.
Total trash baby, because I've been off from my day job to finish up Black Mage for like this is my second week of my 3 weeks to finish the book. Mm-hmm. And so I've just been consuming a lot of media while I'm working, and I was like, I'm gonna put on Outlaw Star again, because I was like, haven't watched that show since I was in high school. Does it still hold up? Is it problematic? Mm-hmm. Are there problematic things in Outlaw Star? Absolutely. But for the most part, it still holds up really well. Really great story. That second ending theme slaps. It's so good.
Still has that fucking heartbreaking episode where
the episode where Jim sees that girl,
yes, and falls in love
with her, and then
that fucking realize episode
that she's the mark. Yes. Oh my god, it is the most heartbreaking thing, and I'm like, man, that episode still gets me.
That episode like scarred, because I don't think I watched like Outlaw Star more than when it was on Toonami. Yeah. So maybe I saw the episode once or twice, and I'm still just like, I still vividly remember it, because I was just like, this is This is so sad.
It was so sad. It was so, so sad. But yeah, that show still holds up really well. It's the animation still looks really good. Really solid character designs. Aisha Clan is the best character in the show.
Aisha's amazing.
Aisha's incredible.
How much, watching All Star again, was it even, because to me, like, when I saw Firefly, I was like, y'all, this is Outlaw Star. Like, yeah. they're there's so much stuff they're taking from Outlaw Star.
Right, right.
Was there more stuff that you noticed, like, or at least, like, things that Outlaw Star obviously influenced? Because, like, Melfina, like, being in the suitcase, I was like, that's how Firefly starts.
Yeah, yeah.
So, with River Tam.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, huge influences. Like, because I haven't seen all of Firefly, but I know that, like, there's a lot of, like, heavy, like, late 90s, early 2000s anime influences in that show.
Mm-hmm.
And that show feels so, like, unapologetically that time period. Especially that time period in anime, because that was, like, was that... Yeah, because that was... Cowboy Bebop was 99, and I think Outlaw Star was 2000?
Yeah, so yeah. Because, like, what, Eva and Gundam Wing were, like, 95, 96. Mm-hmm. Then you had Trigun
was then...
And then Bebop, I want to say.
Yeah, so, like, it felt very... Because it was also a Sunrise Studio production, so yeah. it felt very much like that kind of, like... There's a continuous storyline going through the entire, like, series, but each episode is, for the most part, very self-contained, with like, little pieces of narrative things pushing forward in the background that are not necessarily, like, the main focus of that particular episode. Mm-hmm. But, like, I still think that show holds up really well. I think that story holds up really well today still. I think that... I was like, man, I wish there was, like, another season of that show. Because, like, the show kind of sets itself up, like, they're going on more adventures again.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we never got, like, a follow-up series to that. At least as far as I know, we never did. But, because Gene gets, like, a redesign at the end of it. And I'm like, how are you hotter?
Uh-oh.
How are you hotter? Like,
I need to watch it again, because I just remember, like, his, like, weird-ass bullets.
Yeah.
In his gun, yes.
Yeah, the caster, yeah, the fucking caster gun.
It's, and then the ship had arms. The ship has tiny new arms.
Yeah, the grappler ship. Yeah, I mean, it's... man, that show is so wild. It's really cool. Like, it's this, like, weird intersection of a space cowboy bounty hunter drama, but with magic. And, it's, like, so just, like... that time in anime, like, especially
got
like
cat girls in it,
cat girls and samurai girls and bounty hunters and westerns and harmonicas and all that stuff. So it felt like very, very like
it's that. Funny that you said harmonicas, but literally I was like, yes, Cowboy Bebop, Trigun, Outlaw Star all have harmonicas all the time,
all the time, just harmonicas all the time. But it was
like Blues Traveler up in this shit.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed that. And I'm like, man, like, anime doesn't look like this anymore. Mm-hmm. And there's something really special about that show, about the way that show looks, that I'm like, this is everything that I'm in. This is everything that, like, inspired me to be an artist and want to make comics and all that stuff. So it was just really fun to kind of revisit that show again. And then... also, like, anime-related, I put this in the news section, but I'll talk about it here. But I saw Alita Battle Angel.
Tell me about it.
And that, I think that was... I kind of went through... I was kind of going through, like, my, like, unpacking process on Twitter. Because, like, I saw it, and I got out of it, and I was like, what did I just watch? But then, like, as I thought about it, I'm like, this is very much like a 2000s anime. Like,
I've heard that it's, like, a lot of people, even people who did not like it, said it's, like, the best live-action Hollywood anime adaptation.
It absolutely is, because it is the OVA, which you can watch on YouTube for free.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is that to the letter, but with stuff added on top of it.
Interesting.
Because apparently they took some other story arcs from the manga and peppered them throughout the movie, too, to kind of flesh out the movie. Because if you watch the OVA, which the OVA isn't very good, but if you watch the OVA, like, it... that if they just, like, did the OVA, like, as it was, the movie would have only have been an hour long, just like the OVA. Mm-hmm. So, like, there needed to be more. But I felt like there was so much in the movie that it felt like three movies. Mm-hmm. In like the Alita movie that just came out, but there were a lot of really good things about it. What I appreciate the most from it is that what it showed me is that they really cared about the source material and mm-hmm. that they really wanted it to be this, like, love letter to that. So I have a lot of respect for the movie for that. It's not a great movie, but it was fun. Like, I came away from it having a lot of fun.
Did you see... Okay, I saw this today, which is related. Mm-hmm. It was Christoph Waltz. He was doing an interview in Japan, and they introduced him to... They had, like, a big screen mm-hmm. next to him, and they introduced him to Kazuna AI, which, oh my God. I don't know, yeah. is a VTuber.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, and so it's, like, on a screen, Kazuna AI, like, oh, hello, Christoph Waltz. And he'd be like, oh, hello. And then he's like, are you engaged?
I am engaged.
Yeah, are you engaged? And I was like, get him. Get him. That Kazuna AI.
Shoot your shot.
Get that. Yeah, fucking get that VTuber.
But other than that, what I wanted to round this off with is something that is not anime, but has been kind of... That has kind of been circulating, but it kind of is like a slice of life dating anime in a way. A clip of this show, it's called Dating Around. It's a Netflix show. Mm. That's like a reality dating show thing. It is by far like the slickest dating show I have ever watched on television or streaming or otherwise. And the reason why I say that is because the kind of the way that the show is set up, there's only 6 episodes, and it's about 30 minutes each, and it focuses on 6 different singles. There are queer folk, there are straight folk. I think one of the queer women on there was bisexual. And what was really cool about that is that the way that the show is set up, it's like all these singles are kind of being set up on 5 blind dates by their friends, and the show opens up. It's kind of like, you know how Terrace House, when a new member's coming in, you don't really see like their face or anything.
Yeah, it's all like shots from the chest down.
Yeah, basically. So it doesn't do that exactly, but it kind of has that same vibe. So it kind of like it's like montage shots of like the characters of the daters getting ready like to go on their date, and it's mm-hmm. like voiceover of like their friends like talking about them, like oh like so and so like. Is like a really easy person, really sweet, like really, really fun and outgoing. Like they just really need to find the right person, blah, blah, blah. Kind of like talking about their friend and talking about like their dating experience, their past and all that. And then it kind of cuts to them, that says their name, and then it kind of cuts to them waiting for their first blind date to approach them. So they go on 5 blind dates, and then the next phase from the first blind date is after hours, which is like going to grab a drink or something like that. Well, no, it's grabbing a drink is the next step. And then after that is after hours. So they might go somewhere else, depending on if they are feeling the connection with the person or not. And none of this has, like, a narrator like other dating shows. You're like, will Susie pick Michael to be on their date?
Like, ooh, they gonna fuck.
Yeah, like, are they gonna fuck? Like, there's none of that. So it's just focused on, like, the people in the date. And what's cool is at the end, it kind of, like, cuts to, like, who do they choose to go on the second date with? And then you don't see the whole second date. Like, the episode ends with who they chose. And then they go off and they're going on to their second date. You don't see the second date. That's where the episode ends. Oh. So it's, like, a really cool format. Like, I really like the format a lot. It's really interesting. But what makes it really cool is that throughout, like, the date process, it cuts in between the 5 different people that they're going on their first date with. And mm-hmm. the way that it is edited and cut is incredible. It is, like, so seamless. So, like, the dater might ask a question about something. And because, you know, kind of like going on a first date with somebody, you kind of ask the same questions over and over again if you're mm-hmm. dating, going on different first dates with, like, different people. So, like, the dater might ask a question, and then it cuts to, like, in the previous scene, you might see them talking to somebody else where they propose that question. But then, like, oh, the waiter might walk past the frame, and then it cuts to the next shot. But it's of, like, kind of, like, a similar, like, in the same restaurant, of them talking to a different person. So the dater is wearing the same outfit in all 5 dates because we're like, this can't all happen on the same day. I'm not sure how they shot each of the 5 individual dates, but like the dater is wearing the same outfit throughout. So I'm wondering if it was like a casting thing to where they're like, hey, you're going to wear the same outfit for these five blind dates. But when you watch it, it's like really slick. It's like, it's really, really cool. But,
what was that show that like had, was it Blind Date? Was like that trashy show from like the like early 2000s?
Are you talking about Next on MTV where they came out of the bus?
No, okay, there was Next on MTV, and I do remember Next, because Next was messy as fuck.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Like, it was really fucking messy. Blind Date was all... Was it called Blind Date? There would be, like, little pop-up, like, almost like pop-up video pop-ups that would happen.
Oh, like, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Overlaid on the date, mm-hmm. And it was so bad.
Yeah, so it's none of that. What's really cool is that it's just, like... them in the dates. There's no like,
no, not purposely messy,
right? Or, right. And yeah, like they just kind of like, they does like the Terrace House thing where they kind of like let it all unfold naturally,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm thinking that's like, wow, if you're gonna do like, because I don't think that Terrace House as a format would work in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're gonna kind of do a thing where you kind of just like let everything unfold naturally, it's either gonna be like a Big Brother situation or something like this on Dating Around, to where they just kind of follow along and like, and just kind of let the conversations happen naturally and kind of see where it goes from there. And they kind of leave in those like awkward moments and awkward pauses in those, in like the dates and all that stuff, which is really cool. So it feels really real, but also like, it's like, ooh, this is awkward. Because there are some real awkward dates that are in there, and mm-hmm. it is yikes into some of them. And there was one of a clip that's been going around Netflix, from Netflix on Twitter, and it's of this dater, her name is Gurki, this Indian woman who is like stunning and beautiful. I was like super taken by her, like just watching her, I'm like, oh my god, like she's
very
like,
pretty.
This very like a beautiful, like beautiful, like very confident, like super like established like brown woman who's like a jewelry buyer for different mm-hmm. brands and all that stuff. And it's this one date with this white dude, and the date's kind of going like okay-ish at first, and then she talks about how she was divorced and that she was married to this person for around 8 years. And how it ended up not working out because she wasn't really like into it, like really, really wasn't super really into him. They had dated for a long time, and because of like societal pressures from her upbringing, like her parents yes. came from it. Her parents came from having an arranged marriage, and yes. Her parents are still together. So there's obviously cultural things that I don't have the range to necessarily speak on, but she kind of mentioned that briefly in the show. And she was like, just kind of explaining her process and to why she stayed in the relationship because of like the pressures from her upbringing and her culture to be married. And this like fucking awful ass white dude who she was on a date with. And like, granted, like if this were anybody of any race, like whatever, but like this is kind of very indicative of like when like white people don't understand that like people from other cultures have different societal norms of their own cultures, that
yeah, because that's a deal of stuff that you don't have to deal with
that anymore. Yeah, like you're that's never going to be in your purview because you don't experience that in your normal day-to-day. It's mm-hmm. not your reality. So he just like, you can find the clip, it's circulating all over Twitter, like it's bad. Like she's like, so he starts going off like you lied, like you ruined 8 years of your life, like you lied, like how was anybody gonna trust you, and like, or like why would anybody trust you, mm-hmm. and this, and I'm like, what?
And he also takes this weird stance of just like you lied to this guy for 8 years, acting like you were like into him. And I'm like, wait, like
yeah.
His thing is like he gets very protective of a dude he doesn't even know.
If he doesn't even know, exactly, yeah.
Who was, like, just her ex-husband. I'm just like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
He also looks like, and I can't tell because I don't watch the episode. Watching him, I was like, he looks like a shitty tech bro.
He worked, close. He worked in real estate. I think he works in real estate.
Oh my god, of course.
Yeah, so, just as bad. But, yep. But yeah, so he was, like, a huge asshole, but... but yeah, like the ending of that episode, I was like, okay, bitch, yes. I'm not gonna say what the ending was, but it I was like, okay, like, I love this show and I love this format. Like, when you watch it, it's episode three. So if you watch, even if you just go in and watch episode three and not having watched the other two episodes prior to that, like, it's like, oh shit. So, like, I think you should watch, like, the first episode, and then if you don't watch the second one after that, or just then watch episode three so you can have an idea of, like, what the format looks like if it goes the way that it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really good. It's only six episodes, so I'm hoping that more comes out pretty soon. But I really like it a lot.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah, because it looked. I mean, that clip, I was just like, "Ooh, Lord!" Yeah. But I'm glad to know that the show isn't all that.
That would stress me out and exhaust me. Not at all. And what's so great is that it's not just like young, hot, like millennials or anything like that. It's like they have like millennials, they have like an older couple, which was like that episode was so good. It was so good and so cute. The episode with the two girls, with the lesbian, well, the, I think with the, no, the girl was, she was, yeah, both of them were bi, the girl was bisexual. And they were kind of talking about identity. And then one of the people that she was going on a date with was bisexual. So they have a conversation about bisexuality, which I thought was like really dope that they had that conversation about it. Mm-hmm. And it was like a really positive conversation and a really awesome and necessary conversation about it. So it was really cool to see that on like such a big platform like Netflix and being like a really popular show on Netflix right now. So, Dating Around, it's really good. Only six episodes. You can get through it in a night. It's great. Watch it.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. It sounds like, knowing that it's not going to be all stressful, sounds
no,
like
not at all.
Fun.
Not at all. Not at all. The episode with the gay guy, it was this Asian American guy. His name is Lex. And I was like, both Brandon and I were like, oh my God. Like, so just like, he's just like super hot and just like really just like his demeanor was really interesting and he was fucking hilarious. Like it was oh my God, he was so hot. But yeah.
Now I'm like, now I have more reasons.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like I think you'd be like super into him. Like he's like, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's really good. So watch it. Definitely watch Getting Around. But, I think that's it for this kind of section, so we can take a quick break, and then we'll talk about the Nintendo Direct and some other bullshit.
Yeah, sounds good. Cool.
Hey, we're back. And we're going to talk about that Nintendo Direct that happened last week. So, yes, Nintendo hit us with another Direct with some good stuff, a bunch of new things that we hadn't heard about. The first thing that they opened up with was Mario Maker 2. Mm-hmm. So, I really liked Mario Maker. I personally get really overwhelmed by those kind of like sandbox make your own kind of thing. Kind of games.
Yes.
Like, as a creative person that does a lot of, like, drawing and creating things on a regular basis, it's not really a game for me.
I'll still buy it because I want consume levels, but... Yeah, like making them?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I'll buy it so that I can play other people's levels, but, like, I have no desire to make my own.
Yeah, I really want... I feel like, I just want them to do a better job of supporting and curating it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the last one was, like, a very obvious display of Nintendo, like, doing online bad.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. So I hope that there's, like... I hope that they just do a less bare-bones job, I think, of, like, making it so you can find good levels and do stuff. Yeah, it looks fun. Like, I mean, I might get it at some point.
Yeah, it's not like I have to buy this day one for me. Like, no. I think... I'll probably personally get more enjoyment out of Mario Maker 2 by like watching like a Twitch stream of someone playing this, and either both the creation side or the playing side. I was listening to Waypoint and they were talking about Mario Maker 2 in an episode that came out last week, and to your point of what they were talking about, about it really being a display of Nintendo not knowing what the fuck to do with managing communities or managing, mm-hmm. like, an online, like, a game that focuses pretty much purely on content creation and fostering a community and having it be, like, an online network experience, and them falling flat on their faces about it. So I'm hoping that they either have something more fleshed out in mind to make curation way easier and making it so that you can't, like you were saying, searching for specific levels an easier experience, because I think that's, like, the big thing about Mario Maker that I think was really holding it back is just, like, how poorly managing levels were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's a fun... I'm more excited to see, like, what... Like you said, like, on Twitch or next, like, Games Done Quick. Yeah. Like, what is it? Pooh Bear is one of the main Mario, like, speedrunners. Yeah. What is his name? Mitch Flower? Can't remember his name. There's, like, two of them that are really, really good. Yeah. And usually, like, what that does is it gives them these insane levels to do for Games Done Quick and stuff. Right. So that'll be the stuff that's, like, interesting to me about it. But I'm glad that it's, like, it's out there because... Nintendo, understandably so, I think is just slowly bringing over all those Wii U games that no one played because no one bought the Wii U.
Right, and, like, the one that I'm still waiting for is, like, I'm waiting for Tokyo Mirage Sessions to come out, because that game was, like, the game that held me down until Persona 5 came out.
Yeah.
And it is very good, and I hope people play it.
Yeah, I want Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I want New Super Mario 3D World, like the Cat Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want a sequel to that or some sort of port of it. Yeah. Though I am, like, I keep hearing from people that the Super Mario 3D, whatever, Super Mario, like, Switch,
mm-hmm.
U, whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
the 2D one, that I hate the way it looks.
Oh, yeah,
but supposedly that game, especially Luigi levels, mm-hmm. are, like, hard as shit. And it sounds, like, fun and challenging.
Yeah, like, that game is really good. But, yeah, like, looking at that game, I'm like, this is just so, like, generic and not great. So
yeah, I don't love the art style for that those Mario games.
Yeah,
but
nor
but
do
they
I.
play like Mario games, though, mm-hmm. so.
So the next thing after that, before I get into, like, the main one of this, but Dragon Quest Builders 2. I know that you're, like, super into that.
Yeah, like, well, it's more like the entire house I lived in, and my wife is, like, super into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those games where, like, I could see myself getting into it, but I was watching everyone else play it so much that I was like, I don't think I necessarily need to go in there either. Because, again, like, it's a thing where what's nice about that game is that there's enough, like, action RPG Zelda-ish elements almost, that, like, you don't have to worry so much about building things.
Okay.
Obviously you build stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But that's not, like, the core thing if you don't want it to be.
Okay.
Because there's quests and stuff to do and to complete. So for, like, my wife, it's like, oh, I'm gonna spend hours building, like, the perfect castle,
mm-hmm.
or this room or whatever. Which I can do that for, like, an hour before I'm just like, I want to move on to the next thing.
Right.
But Builders 2 has co-op.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
That's the really exciting thing, is that, and that game's also just, like, incredible, like all Dragon Quest games. It's very cute and charming,
mm-hmm.
and very, very fun. So yeah, the idea of getting to play and do that stuff co-op with her is, like, awesome. Especially, you know, it's a game that, like, I know she, like, is super, super into. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and then Dragon Quest XI, Echoes of an Elusive Age, the enhanced version of that is coming to Switch, which is awesome. So now I want to, like, not finish it on PS4 so and just play it on Switch, because I'm not very far in that game. I think I'm about 10 hours into it. But I probably won't buy it. But I know that Brandon is gonna get it for Switch. But mm-hmm. that game is very good. And what's
cool, I want to play it at some point, and, like, I feel like the Switch is a good place for it.
The Switch is a really good place for it, because I was worried for a while, because before that game came out, they were like, Switch version is delayed. Sorry. It's coming out later. And I was really bummed out about it, because I thought they were both going to release at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because I really wanted to play it on Switch to begin with anyway. But I ended up buying it for the PS4, and it is very good. And the thing that Dragon Quest XI does that every JRPG needs to do like, going forward is having a previously on, like, whatever game that you're playing. Like, that feature in and of itself, like, really saves me. So, you could, like, you could not play that game for, like, a month or something like that, and then you boot it back up. It says, hey, this is the story so far of what you've done since the last time that you've played the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, wherever you are in the game, there's, like, a little purple marker on the minimap. And that purple marker is an NPC that says, hey, this is what you're supposed to do next. Go here.
Oh, nice.
Like, it,
that's really smart.
It tells you, like, flat out what you're supposed to do. And then there's also this feature called Party Talk. And when and what it is, like, it basically puts you, like, in a scene where it's from, like, the player's perspective. And it's all of the party members, like, looking directly at you, and they're just talking. And they'll, and they'll say, like, oh, like, we need to go over here and do this and blah, blah, blah. So if you need to figure out what you need to do next, like, that's another way to do it.
Yeah, I like, I hope that more games, like, introduce that sort of stuff, because God of War had a very, very similar thing. Every time you get back in the boat, like, there would be, like, small dialogue things that would, like, remind you kind of what's going on or what's happened. And the game just did, like, a really amazing, seamless... I would actually be curious to see, like, systemically how they built that.
Yeah.
Because it just did an amazing job of, like, making it happen when you needed it and, like, to the extent you needed it. It was really good that way.
Yeah. So, definitely more RPGs need to implement that in the future. I think as... I think that shows, like, an understanding of how people interact with content today. They understand that there is so much media that's at our fingertips now that we're almost inundated by it. So, it's easy to kind of, like, hop off of something unintentionally because you're sidetracked by something else.
Yeah.
And then I think that by having that feature built into it, it's saying, like, hey, like, we get it. So this is what you need to do to kind of get yourself back on track to what's happening in this game. So
Before we get into some of the big ones, one that really surprised me, just because, like, I just am surprised to see it on Switch, is that they're getting Senua Hellblade.
That was, like, really out of left field.
Well, because that game is, like, really graphically intense. Like, there's a lot going on. So I would have not expected it. And it's also, like, it was kind of a, like, it got a lot of press, but, like, it was also Hellblade's newest sacrifice. It, like, it was still a smaller niche game that was only digital download. It was only on PS4. It wasn't very long. Like, good critical acclaim, but, like, it just was really surprising. And I'm curious to see, like, what it looks like on the Switch.
Yeah, I'm really interested.
Because I will say, the only thing that I hate watching Switch stuff, even though, like, you know, graphics aren't the most important thing in the world, but when I see games that are more, like, more photorealistic, and especially when it's, like, seeing a game that's a port of, like, another game, it's just like, oh, I can definitely, like, sometimes you can just really easily see, like, the jagged edges or, like, the downgrade there, and I'm always just like, oh, I just wish the Switch was there. That way, people wouldn't take dumps on it when people port games to it.
Right. Yeah. And that was one thing too about going into Dragon Quest, which is, has, like, the opposite issue, to where with Dragon Quest having such, like, a very, very, like, specific art style. Like, I feel like Toriyama's work, you wouldn't think, like, on paper, that Toriyama's work would translate really well into 3D, but it does. Like, the 3D Dragon Ball Z games look really good, and Dragon Quest looks phenomenal on the PlayStation 4, and looking at the footage that they were showing from the Switch version, it looks pretty good. I probably imagine that things that you're going to see that are going to be different is probably, like, draw distance is going to be different. Like, how much information is like, on screen at any one time.
And, like, I could see, like, frame rate maybe being less stable or something, but
So I'm thinking about that, but I think since they were already planning a Switch version from that game's inception, that probably more optimization tools were put in place in the beginning of its development cycle, so that
did it not come out on Switch in Japan, like, forever ago? I'm trying to remember if it came out.
It came out in Japan a while ago, but not on the Switch. So when they delayed it on Switch, that was, like, everywhere. That wasn't just in the U.S.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if it had come out there yet or not.
So You want to talk about Fire Emblem?
You know what? It's like, I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I don't know what the fuck they showed me. Because, like...
So, it feels like Fire Emblem Three Houses feels a lot like Valkyria Chronicles, but Fire Emblem to me is what to me.
I can see that, because Fire Emblem already has, like, a decent amount of systems going on mm-hmm. in it, and this looks like they just added, like, a lot more systems onto it.
Yeah.
Also, and from what I can tell, like, so you're not just, like, controlling and raising, like, your group and, like, your group of, like, main protagonists from anime characters, but mm-hmm. it seems like you're also training sort of, like, I don't know, I probably procedurally generated, like, soldiers as well, or rather, like, you're like, picking how to, like, train up an army as well.
I'm thinking it's the Valkyria Chronicles thing, to where you have all of these, like, these soldiers, you have these
yes.
quote unquote soldiers, to where they all have like this is so and so, this is mm-hmm. her, these are her affinities. Like she uses an axe, she has an affinity towards this type of character, she likes this kind of food or whatever the stat things are that are specific to mm-hmm. this game are. And then you can, like, go in and train them and all of that stuff, and then you take them into battle. Depending on who you are teamed up with, will give you more benefits in battle. It's kind of, yeah, so, like, even though Fire Emblem has always had that mechanic, I feel like it's leaning more into the Valkyria Chronicles aspect of those kind of, like, passive skills. I think it's leaning more towards that. As sad as I am to see that Yusuke Kozaki is no longer the character designer for Fire Emblem, because I loved all of his art since he was on Awakening and everything up until now.
You could tell, too, like, looking at the new characters.
Yeah. I forget who the character designer is, but it looks like one of the designers that worked on the Trauma Center game that was on the Wii. Mm-hmm. It looks like that, but the art has gotten better. I love the art. I love the character designs. It feels more Atlas, in terms of its character designs this go around than it does, like, I don't want to say that it does Fire Emblem, but it feels very, like, Atlas to me.
I'm looking to see, it's, Chinatsu Kurahana.
What did they work on prior to that?
Let's see. The freelance artist, most famous for their work on the Udonode Prince Sama series.
Okay.
From game to manga to anime. Also character designer for the Samurai Flamenco anime. Okay. And Tokyo Twilight Ghost Hunters game. Don't know those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not really familiar with their work.
So that's cool that they're, like, using someone that's fairly new, because Yusuke Kozaki was pretty established. Like, he worked on No More Heroes, did the art for, what was that other game? Oh, the anime Speedgrapher. That was where I was mm-hmm. first introduced to his art. Was through Speedgrapher, and I loved his art since then. so he's, like, one of my favorite character designers personally. But yeah, I like the new art a lot. I like the basically, like, the Harry Potter houses of Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so, like, I'm really excited about it. Like, I'm definitely on in the Deer House, because Claude is the only character that matters. That beautiful brown boy.
He was really, really hot. Though both Aaron and I were just like, the moment they showed, her name's not Edgelord, but
yes, I saw that tweet though. I did see that tweet.
Yeah, Edelgard. Both Aaron and I were just like, protect her. She's beautiful and perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then, like, Claude is, like, gorgeous, and then, like, Dimitri looks like a fuckboy, whatever.
Yeah, because at first I was like, okay, like, Dimitri, cute little anime blondie. And then I was like, oh, put him in the trash. Claude's here. Yeah, but I'm really interested in how in the direction that they're taking Fire Emblem. It looks like they delayed it a little bit. They delayed it, like, a couple of months, which fine.
Yeah,
I'd rather you guys say, like, hey, like, we need some more development time on this so that we can, like, deliver the product that we want to give you, rather than them releasing it on the date that they intended to, and it being, like, a hot fucking mess. So That got pushed to June. I'm looking forward to that a lot.
It's also cool that
Battle Chess Fire Emblem games, so it's fine.
It's also cool that it's a, like, as a character designer, it's someone who, because I feel like Fire Emblem for a while has been so horny, like, overall.
Oh, yeah.
But certainly,
yeah.
Like, certainly women horny, yep. Like, design-wise.
Oh, yeah.
So having a female illustrator whose previous work was mainly on a visual novel series in game, that's a, like, a, I think it's an Otome game, like the Utena Prince-sama is an Otome game, I think. So to have it, like, kind of swing in the opposite direction of someone who, like, draws hot boys for girls a lot is nice. It'll, like, I think we'll get, like, a more balanced mix of how horny the art is.
Yeah, like, I like that contrast. Like, they're, like, I, you know, as much as I love Yusuke Kozaki and as much as I love Camilla from...
Oh, my God.
Like, well, who, like, is perfect... Like, it's, again, it's that different sensibility. It's that it's that different gaze. It's the female gaze versus the male gaze. And and I think that seeing what a female illustrator finds to be sexy is, one, really cool to see, and also, two, very sexy in its own and very different way. And like, the protagonist that you can choose from, I'm like, oh, I might actually pick the boy because the boy is hot. So
yeah. Like, the boy's cute, and I was like, interesting. That's not usually the case.
Yeah, it's never usually the case. So, because I usually always pick the female protagonist if there's an option for you to choose from, and I might actually pick the guy because he's looking pretty bishonen, and that is what I am into when I go to my anime otome bullshit.
You now have me curious who the character designer for Dragalia is, because Dragalia is like, that game's art is horny.
Oh yeah, Dragalia is super horny.
Like, really horny.
Yeah.
And it's, like, good horny. It's, like, I love all of it. Naoki Saito is who it appears to be.
So let's see. The other... We already talked about Tetris 99 and how it looks like a Dreamcast game. And that is my personal aesthetic. Like, I feel like my mind is, like, a perpetual Sega Dreamcast.
Oh, my God.
I love that vibe. I love that look. But the other horny,
like, give me Cannon
thing.
Spike. Sorry,
what?
Bring back cannons. Bring back Cannon Spike.
Bring
that Capcom
back
Dreamcast.
Cannon Spike.
Bring back Power Stone. Bring back Cannon Spike.
Like, I am so willing to give Capcom money. Like, like, just bring back your old shit. Because some of the new shit is good. Like, y'all are doing Resident Evil right, and Monster Hunter. Y'all are doing.
I need to play the new one. I'm so excited for that.
Y'all are doing those things right. But, give me like Power Stone. Give me that on the Switch, because Sega figured out, or whoever figured out, how to get like games that were running on the Naomi board, which is what all Dreamcast games were built on, to run on Switch. So I think it's only a matter of time until we start seeing that stuff kind of make its way to Switch. I don't know how late in the system's lifecycle we'll see that stuff, but I feel like it's coming at some point.
God. When I was at MAGFest, they had Power Stone and Power Stone 2 loaded up on a couple cabinets. And I was just like, okay, let's sit down and play, boys and girls.
Yeah, it's like, if you want to, like honestly, like, if I could have gone to MAGFest, I would have been like, y'all can find me posted up, drunk as fuck, on the Power Stone machine. Come catch these hands. I'll be here all motherfucking night.
I forgot how spastic that game is and how much of a mess it is. Like, there's always bullshit happening.
There's always bullshit, like, happening.
Constantly. It's so much fun, but it's just like, there's so much happening.
Yeah, I view that game as like Capcom's kind of response to Smash Brothers, right?
It absolutely,
like,
was,
and
yeah.
I think that, like, if you're going to be like a competitor to Smash, like, taking that kind of like arena party fighter format and doing something different with it, like, is the way to go. And Power Stone was that. So that,
don't make PlayStation All-Stars or whatever.
I mean, and I feel like that game could have been good. Like, you could have literally just copy and paste what Smash Brothers did and have super moves and then been done. Like, let me not go into my diatribe rant about how PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale could be good, but the game got in its own way, and that's why it's not good. And then the people that keep thinking that the game is good are wrong.
Put Parappa in Smash, though. I want Parappa the Rappa in Smash. Put him in Smash.
Put him in Smash. He'd be perfect in that game.
Yeah, put Paper Mario in Smash.
I mean, honestly,
right?
Who fucking knows what who the other four DLC characters are going to be? Who fucking knows?
We have no Nintendo's wild. I have no idea.
I still want Ulala in Smash. I still want Ulala to be in Smash.
Ulala in Smash.
But yeah, so while we're on the subject of horny anime bullshit, so Astral Chain.
Uh-huh.
So as the Nintendo Direct was happening and they were showing like the trailer for Astral Chain, I was like in all caps, I'm like, what the fuck is this? I don't know what this shit is, but I'm buying it. And like, that's
TJ, you know that's when I started wilding out. I was like, I don't know what this is, but it looks like bullshit.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this anime bullshit? Give it to me. I'm like, that game looks really cool. It's developed by Platinum, so we already know that, like, from a combat perspective, at least it's going to be fun. So that looks really cool. I'm really interested to see, like, more details about that game. I hope that there was a demo where we get to experience, like, a mission or two that comes out sometime in the future, but who knows? But
it's so funny to me that, like, demos are kind of coming back around.
Yeah.
Like, for a long time, it was, like, demo discs. Everyone wants to buy magazines, get demo discs. Then, like, no one talked about demos for, like, a while. Right. And now I feel like I keep, like, hearing game announcements where it's like, yo, there's a limited demo. Here's a demo. There's going to be a demo for it. And, like, I feel like that wasn't a thing. Like, that started, like, a year ago.
Yeah. Like, I think the language around, like, the demo, quote-unquote, changed to, especially in, like, the late PlayStation 3 going into the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One era, became, like, the beta, like, or the alpha or the beta, which is terms that they use kind of internally when they're, like, working on different builds of the game. That kind of became a term that became very external and very and understood pretty much by the consumer as to what they kind of can kind of expect. So, like, but the difference is, I think, is, like, a demo was, like, this is a specially curated version of what you could expect from this game, and the beta or like the demos are like, so this is what we're working on in progress. Y'all can fuck around with it and just deal with whatever kind of bullshit happens. That's just what's going to happen. But you can play it. It
definitely tempers expectations.
Yeah, no, I think it does too. I think it tempers expectations for sure.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is a good thing. And I think. I was gonna make a funny, but I couldn't. But I lost it. But if it comes around, I'll say it again. But yeah, I do like that we're getting back into these curated experiences again for players to kind of get a taste of what they can expect of what this game is going to be. So I hope we get an Astral Chain demo because I really want to try it out before it comes out. But we did get a demo of Daemon X Machina, which I'm so in. I like what I played.
I liked what I played. I want, maybe this is just, like, me getting older or, like, not being able to parse what's happening on screens as well. But, like, I was overwhelmed by the screen. Like, there is, it just felt like, and I guess, like, if playing more time, like, giving it more time, I would get used to it and, like, it would feel more comfortable. But I was just overwhelmed by, like, all the things on screen and, like, how much I was affecting them and, like feedback on, like, how much damage I was doing to things.
No, like, I don't think you're alone in that because I kind of felt that way, too. Kind of felt like it felt a little, like, mushy to me.
Yes.
It felt a little mushy, and kind of what I mean by that is, like, when you use a rocket, it's like, I didn't feel like I didn't get, like, an animation, like, I didn't get, like, a particular animation that kind of indicated that, like, oh, my robot is doing this, like, multi-missile attack thing, or I didn't get any feedback from the controller, like, or, like, much feedback at all from it that kind of indicated that I was doing something in that moment.
Yeah.
So, there wasn't enough visual or audio cues for me to kind of, like, know if I'm, like, toggled onto something. And I think even when you targeted something, your camera didn't shift your focus to that. And I'm not sure if that is, one, because the game is in the state that it's in currently, or if that is a design choice that they chose to kind of, like, not shift your camera in such a different space than what you're currently looking at from when you're targeting something. But I did kind of feel like I didn't quite know what I was hitting, and I didn't get the feedback that I was looking for when I'm like, oh, I'm shooting a missile and it's hitting this thing and it's exploding and it's dead. So I'm wondering if that's if that's something that they'll fix, because it looks like they're really open to feedback about the game, because they said they at least said so in the direct.
Yeah.
But I like, you know, I like the gameplay loop of what that is. Like you,
yes,
like you have like your little pilot that you can customize. I tried to make them black, and you can be a brown person, but like not many facial feature options. But again, it's a demo, so not all the content's going to be there. That's fine. But it looks like there's a lot of customization that's going to be in the game, which I think is super key for like a mech game like that, is to be able to really customize your mech and it be like an extension of you and all that stuff and everything. So I think all the pieces are there. It still needs some polishing. And again, it's a demo, so we know that they're still actively working on it.
It was definitely like when I started playing it, a lot of things about it, I was like, oh, this is like if someone made Armored Core into an arcade game.
Right, right.
Which Armored Core already kind of was, but Armored Core definitely like was fairly concerned about like how much weight your mech can support. Yeah. And like you don't move that fast necessarily. Whereas this was like somewhere between like Armored Core and Zone of Enders.
Yeah. And if they could kind of find a balance between like Armored Core and Virtua On, that I think would be better suited, one, stylistically for the way that this game looks. Because I think that's probably what it was for me that kind of made me feel like this feels mushy to me, is because like with Virtual On, like I felt like there was a lot of like visual feedback, but also like anime, like visual feedback from your character, but also like you could kind of like see a little bit more clearly, because again it's like a one-on-one 3D environment robot fighter or whatever, but I felt better senses of impact with that, and I think that's kind of what that game is missing, is that it's like nothing feels punchy yet.
Yes, yeah, yeah, and like I'm a big robot like shooting missiles at things, and nothing felt as impactful as it felt like it should. Right. Also, I think flying felt weird to me, I never felt like I was going as fast as flying should feel. If that makes sense,
yeah, because like.
Like, the on the ground felt faster most of the time.
Because, like, the videos and stuff, it's like, oh, like, I'm about to be zipping all over the place. Like,
yeah.
It didn't feel as fast as I wanted it to. And I'm like, huh, well, maybe this is because it's like a base-level robot, and that, like, I'm probably don't have, like, the armor set that makes me, like, go super fast and all that stuff. So it could be that. So, again, it tempers expectations because we know that it's a demo. So... who knows what'll happen in the final build, but I did like it. I did like what I played.
I am excited for like a mecha game to come out though, because it's been a minute, especially on consoles.
Yeah.
Like you'll get those like tactical style ones on PC and other places, but like to have just a like fun mech ass like shoot stuff and like it be good and feel good game come out. I'm hoping that's what it is, because I would love one of those. It's been a long time.
Same. But I think the biggest surprise for all of us was that they are remaking Link's Awakening.
I saw, like, I was like, what is this fucking anime cutscene that's happening? What's this boat? And I saw that boot, and I was like, no!
Yo, no!
I was like, yo, I know that boot! That's a Link boot.
Yeah, that's a Link boot, for sure.
People are real upset about how it looks. I like it. Like, it's I think what it is, like, I don't want other Zelda games to look that way, but if there is going to be like a series of remaking old Zelda, like the old 2D Zelda games, like if they wanted to do like Oracles or any of those, I like that style for
I do too.
It looks like 3D Dot Hero. Like it has the same, like the same tilt shift camera angle. Everything's kind of like oddly shiny, but I thought it looked really cute.
It kind of has this like isometric toy box, kind of like a look to it, which I think lends itself for remaking a Game Boy game.
Yes,
like it's like let's be real here about what the jump from a Game Boy game to like a potential Switch game could be. I mean, I think people are still stuck on wanting like. Not necessarily like hyper real, but like I want my grim dark Zelda game. Like, you got that already. That was fucking Twilight Princess. You got your grim dark Zelda game. Like, let's let that be be that. Like, we're done.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand. I also just understand people not, like, you know, Link looks kind of like a me, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In it. And I get people, like, just not digging that art
yeah,
style.
Yeah, I get that. And that's fine.
That's fine. Like, I get it. I think that there are probably other interesting art styles that they could have done sure. for a game, like, for what they're doing here, which I think is it makes sense, is to take an old Zelda game, do a remake, but don't make it this, like, huge thing. Mm-hmm. Make it this, like, really cute, really accessible. And obviously, like, didn't look like it was, like, super intensive to make.
Right.
Like, graphically, like, keeping things really simplistic like that. Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I won't be surprised if this is, like, the new design language for, like, Zelda remakes.
Yeah, for, like, that, Game Boy Zelda remakes.
Yeah, for, like, Game Boy and, like, up to, like, maybe Super Nintendo, mm-hmm. right? And that's fine.
Yeah, I think it works.
But I think it looks cute. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's really cute. There's, like, other things that I think could look better.
Oh, yeah.
But for the sake of probably keeping, like, the budget low mm-hmm. on that game, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, because I think they're doing a good thing because, like, at this point, Breath of the Wild came out in, what, two years ago?
I think so.
Getting close to, like, 2 years ago. So, like, they need... Some people are probably, like, whetting their appetites for, like, another Zelda game to play, which is fine because, like, we've had two waves of DLC for Breath of the Wild. They're probably done with that. And then they want something else to play, and I think this is a good thing to kind of, like, one, a great entry point for new people coming into Zelda. They want kind of, like, an idea of what older Zelda games used to be like, because Breath of the Wild is such a departure from what the traditional Zelda format was, mm-hmm. while still being very Zelda at the same time. But I think that this is, like, another way to kind of grab a new audience to come into Zelda, kind of like the Pokemon Let's Go thing. Like,
yeah.
Another great way where, like, people that are fans of the old game that played this one, it's a nostalgia grab for them. And then for, like, people that are millennials that are also parents now, introducing their kids to this game, like, oh, I played this growing up. Here's this remake of this. We can play it together. So I think...
Also, like, a fucking 8 or 10-year-old's not going to be like, the art direction of this game is bad.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
They're going to be... Yeah. Like, it's cute. They're probably going to be like, this looks really cool and fun. Right,
exactly. So I think that... I'm definitely going to buy it. Like, this looks super fun because I never played this one. So
I never finished it because Link's Awakening is fucking hard.
Yeah, I heard that it was hard, but I've also heard that it's, like, one of, like, the most revered games of the series.
So I haven't spoiled myself. Supposedly Link's Awakening, story-wise, like, goes places. Mm-hmm. Like, it gets, like, there's, like, a really big reveal of what's going on at some point that's, like, legit really good.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like, think of it as, if not the best, one of the best of Zelda's narrative.
Okay, cool.
So I'm excited to play it. I just remember when I went back to try to play it, like, that game tells you nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very much just like, yo, go try and do everything and figure stuff out because we're not going to tell you anything.
Right.
So I'm kind of hoping, for the sake of, like, me being an adult with not a lot of time, this game's a little bit better with, like, or at least, like, have a mode, like, have the normal mode where it's like, okay, like, NPCs will kind of tell you what's up and what to do and, like, et cetera, et cetera. And if you want, like, a hardcore mode that's like the old game, that's fine.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Perfect.
Just real quick. Also, Hollow Knight, what was going to be DLC.
Yeah.
It's a full-on sequel, and I'm so fucking stoked for that.
Which is cool. Like, that's really cool. They're like, you know what? We're just going to make this a new game.
That game is... Hollow Knight is... I've been thinking about going back and playing through it again, mm-hmm. just because that game is so good.
Yeah.
Like, it's really... It's just really, really good.
Yeah, so that's dope. So I'm looking forward to that. So what we can do now, we can just... Talk about some questions.
Some questions from the Discord. Yeah.
So again, just big shout out to the Discord server. I wish that I could be in there as often as I would like to be, but, like, life is so fucking crazy. But, like, y'all are just in there having a good time, and whenever we ask of you all to do things for us, you guys are so quick to do it. So thank you so much for that.
That is my favorite thing. Is that, like, it's... I was worried. I think that we'd make it, and it'd just be like. Empty
mm-hmm.
and it has a life of its own that, like, we don't even have to be, it's like, without us in there, people are talking all the time and sharing stuff together, and it's just rad. It's just, I'm glad that, like, everyone is like, and I'm just glad that, like, we like set up the Discord, but like everyone in the Discord is who's making that community really cool and really chill. Yeah. With like no input from us at all.
I mean, we kind of laid the groundwork, and then people were like, yeah, we're here for this shit. Let's do it. So really appreciate your support. So you all are awesome.
All y'all.
All right, let's take a look here in the questions channel. This question comes from Dan Dan. Dan Dan says, which state is the least anime?
You know, before our before our King of the Hill talk, I would have said Texas. But after King of the Hill, I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Texas has their own anime, so it's not the least anime.
I think it's like, who lives in Wyoming?
I feel like you could have anime in Wyoming, though. Like, I feel like you could do something there. My pick is Massachusetts. Just because when I think about, like, the most, like, milquetoast white state, like, possible, which, like, there's a lot going on in Massachusetts. It has Boston. It has, like, stuff. I'm just, like, I don't know, something about it. It's just, like, what is anime there?
Well, what is anime?
What is anime? Not Boston. Not Massachusetts.
Yeah. I would also say, like, my trash home state, like, North Carolina isn't anything anime.
No, North Carolina ain't anime. Like,
it's definitely not anime. And neither is South Carolina. So... Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
Just any state that has a north and south, though. But then you can like say like Ume and Seme.
True.
So
there could be something there. but my home state is trash, so I don't want to give them anything.
Florida's the most anime state.
So let's see. what is the This one comes from Casey, and Casey says, what is the most anime thing you've ever done in real life?
I mean, like, Naruto running every day.
I mean, you could also talk about when you healing up to Tyson.
So why? Why do you have to drag me like this?
Because it's like my favorite story. It's my favorite.
I met him many years later with you in tow, so it wasn't as awkward. Yeah. And he was very kind and sweet.
He's a sweet boy.
And I walked up to him like a human.
Yeah, he's a good boy. And I'm so sad that you're not going to be at Emerald City because he's going to be sitting next to me this year.
I'm so sad I'm not going to be at Emerald City because, A, it's like so much, Seattle's just so like good. Eating so much good food. Yeah. Is it in March?
Oh, yeah, it's second weekend in March.
God, part of me is just like, what if I just went to Seattle?
I mean, you could.
I know. I have a bunch of like Southwest points.
You could.
I know, but like Aaron's not even tabling, so I'm just like I'd have to like figure out where to stay too. Yeah.
But
God, I just want to go get some chowder. Yeah. Like, honestly.
But yeah, you should come.
Okay. Well, so I'll talk to Aaron about it.
So, this one, you know what? Shout out to UK Throne. Like, you always just like come with content, you come with questions, we ask you to do something, you're so like game to do it. You've been like writing for us for a minute, so thank you for you. You answered that question, the second one. I didn't answer it. The most anime thing that I've done in real life, well, I guess when I play Smash competitively, it's like being in a real life like tournament arc for an anime. Because there's drama, there's like hot blooded, like I want to be the best, I want to shoot for the stars and all that stuff.
Is Angelic Lair where they like fight with their little like that.
It's like Angelic Lair. So yeah, I would definitely say
it's the same as Angelic Lair. Yeah.
I would say that for sure. But yeah, going back to Kaithron and their question, Kaithron says, what is your weirdest anime quirk? Like, what would be the weird detail included in your shonen hero bio? Me and my fiance have asked this to each other before, like, what would our quirks be? And I'm like, and I still, like, don't know what mine would be. Like, I'm still...
Yeah,
I still don't know.
I'm gonna have to think on this one, because I don't... Yeah, that's, like, such a big question.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, you'll have to, like, I want to put a pin in that one because I really want to think about that. And I still couldn't come up with a good answer even after thinking about it for a couple of days with my fiance, but I want to think about it some more, so.
I definitely identify with Eraserhead a lot just because he's tired and grumpy all the time. Yeah.
Oh, Eraserhead, so good.
Like, basically, okay, so, like, Eraserhead's quirk, but instead of, like, making someone's quirk stop, it just makes them being annoying, or stops them from being annoying. Like, I can just look at someone, and then it's like, they calm down. Like, I'm at an anime con, I'm at a whatever con, and people are acting too wild and too ridiculous and enjoying the youth of their life and too drunk, and I can just be like, I'm gonna look at you, you're gonna calm down, so that for these, like, 30 seconds I'm in the same elevator as you. You won't talk to me.
I need to relax for this 15-second elevator ride. Just please.
Like, you're not in my life. We're only going to have this interaction for 1 minute, but please don't make the entire minute the worst minute.
Exactly.
So I'm going to nullify stupid bullshit.
Let's see. This question comes from Sig. Sig asks, if you could add a queer character to any anime franchise, anime/franchise, which would it be and why? Or what is the coolest anime death scene of all time? Ever. Period.
Period. Period. Make Spike Spiegel gay.
Yeah. Just make every... Well, I take that back, because then I think about Meliodas and about how, like, Meliodas is fucking gross and I don't want him to be queer so that he's not a gross queer person. So
Get the fuck out of here, Meliodas.
Stop ruining the show
I want to watch.
Meliodas is a fuckboy, and every time that Meliodas does something fucking weird, it ruins an otherwise really good fucking shonen anime. Man, Seven Deadly Sins is so good. Everybody else is so good, but fuck Meliodas.
It's like if what's-his-name from My Hero Academia was the main character. Grape Baby.
What is that awful purple thing's name?
What's his grape? God, I'm Googling Grape Baby, but I know it's not. My Hero Academia. Grape Boy is what someone... Okay. Mineta.
Fuck Mineta. God, the fucking worst.
But it's like if you made an anime, I was like, okay, but Mineta's the main character of this. That's how, like, I hate Melodious. Yeah. Okay, but Mineta does wear a diaper. Can we just agree?
Yeah, Mineta does wear a full-ass fucking diaper.
That great baby.
Let's see if I can make a queer character in any anime. Make Gene Starwind gay, because that would be fun.
Oh, I knew it. Make just because you're like,
I mean, he's just hot and heavy on my mind. But to your second question, coolest anime death scene of all time, period. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, where Roy Mustang defeats Lust. Like,
oh my god,
that holy shit.
Is it the one where he just, like, keeps igniting her over and over again?
Fucking fire.
Fuck, like, yeah, yeah.
And they were like, we're gonna do all the Sakuga for this fucking fight, and it was oh my god, it was so good.
That's a good one.
It's a real good one.
Oh, I mean, okay, but, like, Kamina and Gurren Lagann.
Yeah, again.
It's not even as much that it's cool as much as it was just, like, it ruined
me. Oh, God, I was wrecked. Like emotionally fucking destroyed.
Fuck him. God, there is a shot from that series that's, like, Kamina... I don't remember if it's the episode where he dies, or if it's one, like, right before that, but it's, like... It's like a silhouette almost of his face, and you just see, like, his, like, glasses, his sunglasses, clearly, and, like, there's, like, a blood red streak down his face, and just, like, explosions in the background, and it's just like, so amazing. Perfect, beautiful, amazing, never been done before. Totally unique. Yeah,
put it in a blender. Oh my god. Let's see.
Dan? Dan, why you do this? There was a correction too. It's 100 Acre Wood, I guess. Yes. According to Shinogu.
So this question comes from Dan asks, is who in the 100 Acre Wood is the most fuckable?
Dan, I gotta look up who all's in there just so I don't remember. I don't want to forget anyone. If I'm gonna do this, if I'm gonna, like, get nasty, I want to, like, get accurate.
All right, so, I mean, we can talk about it. Let me pull it.
100 Acre. No, we're gonna talk.
100 Acre Wood cast.
Let's see. The cast of the 100 Acre Wood. Residents of the wood. We got Eeyore. We got Kanga. Is it Kanga?
Yeah, Kanga, and then Ruse the little baby.
Ruse the baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, we got Eeyore, we got Kanga, we got Lottie. I don't know who the fuck Lottie is.
Where are you looking at this list?
I'm on... Oh, because I'm on, okay, because I'm on the wiki, and the wiki's taken it from the book. Lottie was an outer. An outer, an outer.
An outer.
We got an outer senshi. We've got Owl, we've got Piglet, we've got Rabbit, Christopher Robin. He's off. We can't touch Christopher Robin, obviously. Roo, Tigger, Winnie the Pooh. Disney materials only. Beaver, Buster, Darby, Gopher, Mrs. Heffalump. Okay.
Here we go.
Just Mrs. Heffalump. Kessie, Lumpy, Porcupine, Raccoon, Skunk, Squirrels. They just stopped. There was a point where they were naming characters. And there's a point like, okay, Tigger is a tiger. Let's add a G, make it Tigger. Piglet's a piglet, but like, yeah, you know, it's not just pig.
They're like, you know what, fuck it, there's cat, there's fucking squirrel over there, there's...
Okay, there's some shady-ass shit going on here, because, look at... Eeyore is a donkey, mm-hmm. right? Has a name, though. He's not called Donkey. Mm-hmm. Kanga is at least, a disambiguation of kangaroo. Mm-hmm. And then you get, but for the most part, Eeyore has a real name... Everyone else is just, named what they are, for the most part. But then Winnie the Pooh isn't named anything he is.
He gets a full-ass fucking name.
What is a Pooh?
He has a the in the middle of his fucking name.
Is he middle name? Winnie, middle name, the, last name, Pooh?
I mean, I guess.
And I'm getting off track, because we should be talking about if we would fuck him. But I just want to talk about this naming conventions for a second.
At some point, Wild. They just stopped caring and they just called them whatever they are. So we both agreed, because we looked at this question before the show started. Tigger doesn't fuck.
No, Tigger's a fuckboy who says he fucks.
But when he's like, it's like, girl, you're doing too much. We all, no, you don't. Because you keep doing that, that's why you haven't fucked.
And you know, he talks about all the dick he gets in that same voice. And everyone's mm-hmm. like, Tigger, we know you don't. Mm-hmm. We know you don't get anything, Tigger. It's okay. Mm. You don't have to. You don't have to perform for us, Tigger. Mm-hmm. Tigger's like the embodiment of hyphy. Y'all forgot about hyphy.
Tigger will fight on sight.
He'll ghost ride the whip.
Oh my god!
Y'all forgot hyphy. That's where it came from. Bay Area.
Okay, if we're gonna stick with the main characters, the ones that we saw in the Disney shit. So if we're ever sticking with them,
Owl's a daddy.
Owl's a daddy.
Of course.
Let's see.
Do you think Piglet lays pipe? Just like
I gotta go. This has been Magical Boys. Thank you all so much.
I'm just saying, no one would expect it.
I mean, oh, God. Part of me wants to say Rabbit.
Rabbit always strikes me, is it weird that, I guess Rabbit's a dude, but Rabbit always, kind of struck me as, the old lesbian, of the Hundred Acre Wood.
I mean, that's also fine.
If I recast Rabbit, Rabbit would be, the old lesbian of the wood.
let's see. Is it Eeyore?
I mean, here's the thing. Eeyore is the closest thing to, MySpace top 8 goth. And if you were in, the scene, a lot of kids in the scene fucked.
Okay.
They were, straightening their hair.
With all the manic panic that you could think of, that you could purchase.
And I don't want to get into the fact that Eeyore also has a removable tail.
It's true.
I know. It's like he's just wearing a strap on all the time.
Get the strap, Eeyore. Get the strap.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess it's, is it Piglet? Does Piglet lay pipe?
such a terrible sentence.
It's a horrible sentence, and I'm going to go straight to hell.
Thanks for doing this to us, Dan Dan.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dan Dan, for that one.
Oh, okay, there's actually another question. Who in the Thousand Acre Woods would most likely be LGBTQ+?
Like, Eeyore is definitely, like, is definitely queer.
Eeyore is queer. I still stand by Rabbit is a Dixie Chicks loving, not Dixie Chicks, sorry, Indigo Girls, like, loving
okay.
lesbian.
Okay, yeah.
Like, woods lesbian, loves the outdoors, loves tea in the morning, is going to yell at people, though, for being on her property.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that Pooh is just like a, you know, like a soft, like a little soft, little cub, a little non-problematic.
I feel like Pooh fucks, but, like, he makes those, like, very desperate Instagram posts, like, when he's feeling bad about himself.
Oh my god.
Like, he's feeling bad about his body. Yeah. And he's just like, oh.
He's like, oh bother. Body positivity.
Oh bother. Oh my body positivity today.
Oh my god.
He fucks, but he's never happy about it because he's not happy with himself.
Pooh has depression.
That's and the also real. Same. That's the real Pooh tea.
Oh my god. Wow. So I think that brings us to the end of our episode.
What a way to... I wish we had a palate cleanser. Like, just to, like... So that we don't end this devastated...
No, I do have one. I'm stealing it directly from Waypoint. Someone asked them on Waypoint, like, what your... you're on the character select screen. What is your idol animation on the character select screen?
Ooh, yes. I heard... Okay, yeah, I heard them talk about that. Ooh, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that I do all the time. DJ, do you have one?
I think that mine would be, like, it would just be me, like, constantly, like, either, like, looking at my phone or, like, readjusting my fucking, like, shirt, because I'm always, like, super self-conscious of, like, looking more portly than I already am. So I'm constantly just, like, trying to, like, not be that all the time.
Girl, I can't watch videos of myself on stage because I pull at my shirt constantly for, like, the same self-conscious mm-hmm. reason, where it's, like, I don't even realize it, and then I watch a video, I'm like, oh, man, I touch my shirt all the time. I'm always pulling at it. What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be that.
I think mine would be, like, in my brain, I'm thinking, like, this is, like, looks like the Scott Pilgrim video game sprite animations. Mm-hmm. It would be, like, just, like, you couldn't even see my face. I'd just be holding up some, like, nasty doujin, like, that I'm reading. Yeah. And on occasion, you would just see my head pop up with my glasses. But you wouldn't see my eyes. Yeah. I'd have that, like, anime villain, mm-hmm. you can't see my eyes stuff, and it'd just go right back down. That'd be my animation. It's just like, I'm reading this doujin, don't bother me.
Let me read my doujin in peace. I'm like, you could pick me if you want to, but I'm reading this doujin right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to be very good at anything, though. We did have a question real quick from Plant Waffle. If you could add any character, item, enemy, feature from any franchise to Super Mario Maker 2, what would it be?
Ooh, from any series.
Any franchise.
To Super Mario Maker. I would like to add in Kirby games, the microphone power up to where, like, you get three and Kirby's like that's like the bah, 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 and then it's like different, like him screaming into a microphone, then it's him like playing another instrument, and then it's him with like a mohawk and doing like a on fire, like
fucking that uber world.
Yeah, and it's just that on fire.
How has no one done like Kirby Ariana Grande screaming into a microphone?
Someone needs to
just Photoshop that head on there. Any franchise in Super Mario Maker 2? I forget to from any franchise an item. I'm trying to think, like, game items that I really love. Give Mario a gun. can Mario just get a gun? Like from Call of Duty?
Or just like a fucking pistol from Grand Theft Auto?
I mean, let's talk about it, right? He's killing Goombas. Like he kills things. So when you die in Mario, you die so hard that, like, you get thrown off of, like, the axis of the plane of your existence. Like, and fall, like, through it, past it. So just give him a gun. I mean, he has fucking fire flowers. That's basically
let Mario say fuck and give him a gun.
Listen, if fucking Chibi Usa can have a gun, Mario can have a gun.
I mean, straight up, Chibi Usa really does have a gun.
A real ass looking gun when she fucking, she's like, she fucking pulls
she's
it on.
She's like, give me the fucking silver crystal, bitch. Where is it? I know you fucking have it.
I don't care if you're my mom.
I don't give a fuck if you're my mom. Give me the fucking silver crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Watch Sailor Moon R. That's what she does in Sailor Moon R. She's like, hey, give me the fucking silver crystal, you bitch. But yeah, that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you all so much in the Discord for giving us all these super fun and ridiculous questions, as always. You can find us on social media at the Magical Boys on Twitter. You can email us if you'd like. You can email us at magicalboyspodcast@gmail.com. And you can find me on Twitter at OheyDJ. That's OheyDJ, where I yell constantly about Sailor Moon, Smash Brothers, and really bad reality television shows. I'm currently watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and it is perfect. So, yeah, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Roobots, ROOBOTS, on Twitter and most other places, Instagram and stuff. Yeah, you can get me there.
Get out that good boy on there. Do it. Well, we love you all very much. Stay magical, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.